The Christian History of Ireland and Its New Period of Peace and Unprecedented Economic Growth. These two issues were at the heart of Pope Benedict's recent address to the new Irish ambassador to the Holy See. Ambassador Noel Fahy met with the Pope at his summer residence of Castel Gandolfo on September the 16th, as he officially took up his new post. Before coming to Rome, he had previously served as ambassador to Germany and to the United States, as well as working in India and at the headquarters of the European Union in the 1970s and 80s. Just after beginning his new job, Ambassador Fahy came to our studios to talk to my colleague Emma McCarthy about the challenges facing the church in his country today and about his own expectations working here as the new Irish envoy to the Holy See.
I've had an interesting career. I've served in three continents and I've been involved in a number of very important issues and events over the last 35 years or so that I've been in the department. But Rome, of course, is a very interesting city. The church, while the Secretariat of State may be smaller than the State Department in Washington, one certainly has the impression that the Secretariat of State has an interest in as many issues as the State Department in the US, and I'm very impressed by what I've seen since I came here. The church takes positions in most of the major international organisations and its voice is listened to, so it's very interesting to be here where ideas are put together behind the thinking that the church expresses internationally. So it's a great pleasure to be here, quite apart from the pleasure of living in Rome. It's a wonderful city.
You yourself met personally with Pope Benedict XVI early in September, presenting your letters of credence to the Holy Father. What were your impressions of that meeting? Was it the first time you've ever met with Pope Benedict?
It was, but I was aware of his role in the church as Cardinal Ratzinger because I spent 4 years in Germany as Irish ambassador to the Federal Republic. And his reputation stood very high in the church in Germany in those days at the end of the last decade and the beginning of this. So it was a great pleasure and privilege to meet him for the first time. Presenting credentials is always slightly intimidating. And of course, in the Holy See, you have the ceremony of, it's more ceremonial than any previous presentation I've made. So it can be a slightly nervous occasion. But I'm glad to say the Holy Father put me very much at my ease. And we talked together for about 15 minutes. And out of that conversation, it's certainly very clear, as it is from his published remarks, that the Holy Father has a great affection and regard for Ireland and that the relationship between Ireland and the Holy See is very, very strong indeed.
His letter to you, his address to you, was very, very positive indeed. He seemed to be full of praise for Ireland and the Irish people. He mentioned not only the lengthy Christian heritage of Ireland and the Irish people, but he also said that Ireland should be of inspiration to other nations when he was speaking in particular here about the Northern Irish peace process. He said other nations in current conflict or in situations of civil strife should look to Northern Ireland for inspiration. How was this received back at home in Ireland?
I think this is very well received. The Holy Father's remarks at my presentation of credentials were very extensively carried in the Irish media, both in the print media and in the audio and visual media. It was quite interesting that an example of the continued importance of the relationship between the Church and the Holy See and Ireland, that it got such considerable attention. I had, in my own remarks, touched on the theme of Irish missionaries, both in ancient times and in the 20th century, because I was fortunate enough to serve in India in the 1970s, where I met many hardworking Irish missionaries who had been there for many, many years and who made an enormous contribution to the relationship between Ireland and India. And of course, having served in Germany, I would be well aware of the importance of monks like St. Killian to the re-establishment of Christianity in Germany after the Dark Ages. So in a sense, from my own career, I would be very conscious that the Irish influence in the church and in spreading Christianity goes well beyond just the island of Ireland. As regards Northern Ireland, I am myself, I have to say, almost amazed by the progress which has been made over the last year. This would have been a big issue for me in the United States, where there's very considerable interest in Northern Ireland and the Northern Ireland peace process, and where the US government has played a very active part under a number of administrations in helping to promote peace in Northern Ireland. Indeed, just before I left Washington, I had the pleasure of receiving in our embassy in Washington a delegation from the new government in Northern Ireland, drawn from ministers from both sides of the community divide in Northern Ireland. And I was very impressed by the ability of these ministers, and particularly impressed that on both sides from Northern Ireland, both on the Protestant side and on the Catholic side, people have a natural affinity for the United States and a very good understanding of the United States. So it was, if you like, my last probably major event before I left Washington involved dealing with the new government. And I must say, on the basis of what I've seen, I would be very optimistic about what this government can bring to the people of Northern Ireland in the years to come.
Another issue that Pope Benedict XVI raised in his address to you was what he referred to as the process of structured dialogue, which has been initiated by the Irish government in reaching out towards the religious leaders of the community in Ireland, the Irish community. For our listeners, what exactly does that mean? What is a structured dialogue?
Well, a structured dialogue will allow the churches a formal means of debating issues with government, of bringing issues to the attention of government that they regard as important. And vice versa, the government will be able to inform the religious communities in Ireland of government thinking and government policy. It'll be a two-way process. It's inspired, I suppose, by two elements. First of all, there is a need in this day and age for open dialogue between government and churches. The churches have a hugely important role to play in Ireland, and the Catholic Church, as the church of the vast majority of the people in the South, has a very special position, a very special role in education and in social services. So there was a need for a more formal dialogue than had existed. There was also the fact that in the course of the negotiations and discussions on the abortive European Constitution and on the treaty which will replace it, that the issue came up of the need to recognise the Christian heritage of Europe and to recognise the role of Christianity in Europe. And the idea of dialogue was present in the draft of that constitution and is still around. And in a way, we're almost anticipating what we hope can happen in Europe, that the churches will be able to dialogue with governments and with the governments, with the European Union, on policies and issues of interest.
Ireland's new ambassador to the Holy See, Noel Fahy, talking to my colleague Emma McCarthy.